Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. Man, I tell you what, we have got a special guest this week, and we're going to talk fly fishing. We're going to talk fishing in streams, tailwaters. You're going to have to keep going and listen to the whole show because you just never know where we may go here. Alexander Gibson is in the house, I guess you would say.
Most definitely.
How there you doing? Go. Good, good. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
I eat, sleep, and drink fly fishing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's all that's really on my mind, especially right. When I'm at work. I definitely think about fly fishing. And I have a guide service, and I tie flies. Really, that's about it, fly fishing.
That sounds like the dream job right there. And so you're getting to live the dream, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a blessing.
It really yep. is. So we're going to get right to it. We're going to try and get some of those get some of the insight on catching fish in some of these places. And so let's just start. You said that you live up in Missouri. And so tell us about some of the places that you're guiding in Missouri.
I just moved up to Lebanon probably 2 months ago. And I'm going to start guiding on Current River.
Right.
I do lessons at Bennett Springs, Roaring River, Montauk. Really just, you know, for tourists when they show up or something like that, campers, and they want to learn how to fly fish, you know.
Right.
They can always hit me up, stuff like that.
So there you go.
Just really my big goal is I just want, you know, people to be able to relax.
Right.
And just catch fish.
Now, you also guide some on the tailwaters of Beaver Lake.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's the honey hole for me. I love tailwaters. Oh, that's where I really got into just experimenting with flies, tying my own patterns. A lot of my patterns that I came up with, like a Hoots tungsten jig pig.
Right.
Which is, it's taken over.
Right.
That's where I tested it, right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
So tell us an average day guide and how, set it up for us for people that are interested in fishing at tailwaters with a fly rod. Tell us how that starts.
Well, normally people will meet me a little bit before the sun rises at tailwaters of Beaver Dam.
Uh-huh.
And then I will set up their rod for them and stuff like that. I do a lot of nymphing, so I'll set the rod up for them, and then we'll, I'll check, make sure their waders are good and everything, and give them little tips, stuff that, you watch for and stuff like that. And then I'll take them to a nice spot where there's some nice bows and browns. And, man, dude, I love catching them browns.
Right.
And, I'll just be like, go ahead, throw a cast out, and I'll kind of critique them, and be like, hey, if you did it like this, it would land softer. It wouldn't scare the fish away,
Right.
And stuff like that. And they land a fish. If they want to net it, they can net it. Or if they want me to net it, I'll net it. Unhook and take the pictures and let the fish go.
So you're waiting. So you're walking around waiting.
Yep. Yeah. My dad owns a boat. And sometimes when the water's up, he'll come and pick me up or something like that.
Right.
And we'll go to another spot that we've just called Vic's Island.
Right.
And, man, my Uncle Vic landed had been a 30-inch bow there.
Wow.
I mean, it was jumping out of the water and just, it was awesome.
So if they start generating then.
Yeah.
So when do you think it's the most popular time to fish below on the tailwater of Beaver Lake?
As soon as the sun rises.
Right.
As soon as.
Right. What time of year? Is there a peak time where you get lots of guide trips?
Normally in the fall, because that's when the browns start running and everything. Like the big browns will start moving into shallower waters, picking spots to, lay or, breed and spawn and stuff like that. So
that's peak time. So up, say, on the Current River and stuff where you're going to guide, and you have been guiding.
Yeah.
They when you're up there, are you wade fishing there too?
Yes. Yeah. There's no. You don't have to worry about a generation. It's straight up. It comes off of Montauk.
Uh huh.
So, it's like Montauk, then it turns into Current River.
I gotcha.
So.
So what's the average water temperature up there? It's pretty cool then, since they have trout.
I mean, it gets, shoot, I'd just be like average about high 50s,
right.
Low 60s.
So you have a mix. That's where you're ending up with that mix.
Yeah, it's far enough. It's far enough that the weather does affect the water and stuff like that.
So this colder temperatures like we're having now, that would affect the
Right now would be a good time for trout, but you really got to put the fly in their face.
Right.
You know, because they're like, oh, it's cold. There's not very much to eat, so they'll swim, you know, and just stay in one spot for a while.
Right.
Stuff like that, because they don't want to burn the energy and, you know, not have enough energy to go after, like, a nymph or a bait fish or something like that. So they sit and wait for something to come to them.
And so, like yep. And so on the Roaring River, tell us a little bit about the Roaring River, because there's a lot of people here that haven't had the opportunity to go there, so... tell us about that.
Roaring River is a really good spot if you're just beginning to learn to fly fish and stuff like that. And I do lessons there too. And I don't say it's real easy. There's still a little bit of a challenge.
Right.
But I mean, you will. I mean, I can almost guarantee you catch a fish with no fly fishing experience whatsoever.
Right.
And it's pretty simple. And, you know, just. A lot of people there are real nice and helpful, too. If they see someone not catching a lot of fish or something, they'll give them a tip, you know, and stuff. But it's packed full of trout. And they got some palominos that got into their water and stuff.
Right.
And I seen a few brown trout yesterday, too, and a real big palomino out there.
So the Roaring River sets up that it's a state park.
Yeah, it's a state park. And, like, right now in the winter, you can only go fishing, like most Missouri trout parks. You can only go fishing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday from like 8 to 4, and then it's done.
All right. So they don't get hammered all the time. So those fish are a little more naive.
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually the best time to fish state parks are in the winter when there's no campers and stuff like that. Great example is Bennett Springs. It gets fished a lot during spring, summer, and fall because it's a real popular place for people to go and stuff like that. And I mean, you literally, like, I didn't believe my dad when he told me this, like, people fish shoulder to shoulder there. And the first time I went out there, I was like, oh my gosh, they really do.
Opening day can be insane up there. We actually had been up there for a writer's camp and we had been up there. And so it gets really crowded up there. So Roaring River, it sets up like it has current breaks and everything that you would look for to try and teach people how to fish.
Yeah, it's got different, like, current breaks, a little bit of waterfalls. Sometimes some places have a real fast current and stuff like that, and then other places have a slow current. There's, like, some places have sticks and stuff like that and big rocks and everything, and it's got, like, really everything. You could learn so much just off that river.
Right.
You really can't, because it's got, like, every scenario.
Do you need waders? Would you wear waders or not there? I've been there.
There's zone one.
Uh-huh.
Is, like, no waders, no wading, nothing. And then I think zone two is where you wear waders and stuff like that. But normally when I go to Roaring River, sometimes I'll get in the water, sometimes I don't.
Right.
It's just... you can catch fish standing on the bank, really, but.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
So what, let's talk about your flies, because you're making flies and you're making flies for fly fishermen that have seen your stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
Is that usually what happens? Or is it the people that you take out fishing and then they decide, hey, you know, this is what I want. Can you build it? Are you custom building these?
I do custom, and I have you can order them online and stuff like that. I do basically, I love tying flies. People always hit me up, be like, hey, can you tie this? And I'd be like, so there's nothing I cannot tie.
Wow.
You know, I'm just like, I'm real passionate about it. I put really my heart into each fly I tie.
Right.
Use top of line material and just keep going.
What's the most popular fly that you sell?
Hoots tungsten jig pig.
All right, what's special about that?
It just works. Right. I mean,
what's it made out of? What's the shape?
I can't say.
Look at that. I'll tell you when I turn the camera off, then you can tell me what it's. It is shaped like something, though, a bug.
Yeah, people ask me, what does it imitate? Yeah. I look them in the eye, I'm like, I don't know, man, it just works. And I've had one person say, well, it looks like an egg pattern. And I'm like,
right,
okay. Another person be like, oh, that's a caddis pattern. And I'm like,
I got you.
Okay. I look at it and I see like a minnow or a bait fish.
Right.
Because the tail is always like, you just leave it in the water, and if there's current, that tail is going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, just being left, you know. So it's just, I don't know what it does. It's just, right. It works.
Right. So do you also tie articulate flies?
Yeah, I do
then?
Articulate flies. It's one of my dad's favorite hoot. He likes to throw my articulate streamers and stuff like that. Landed him a pretty nice walleye at Tailwaters of Beaver Dam in the spring.
So you also guide for walleye too or not?
No, not really.
They just come in accidentally and catch them.
Yeah, you throw an articulated woolly bugger will work for trout. You know, right. If you're using articulated woolly bugger, you're not going for little trout either. You're going for
big browns.
Yeah, brown or a nice rainbow. And so the main food source, one of the main food sources at Tailwaters Beaver Dams are scall pins.
Uh huh.
And so I tie this olive woolly bugger with a grizzly olive and, you know, olive and black pattern on the hackle. And it looks like a scallopin. And then you get the walleye that come up through here. They're either eating small trout or scallopins. Right. You know, they're not looking for bugs.
Right. No, they're not.
You know, they're not looking for a nymph or a midge hatch. They're looking for the next trout or the next scallopin.
Big meal.
So, yeah, something worth their time. And my dad landed to a nice one, real nice one.
What's the largest articulate fly that you tie for people? Are you tying 3-4-inch ones? Any longer?
I've tied a 7-inch one before.
7-inch?
Yeah.
Someone tarpon fishing?
I never really asked what they were going after. Oh. Yeah, it was right in the beginning of when I first started, you know, selling my flies and stuff. But it was a really big, he just showed me this picture. I can't quite remember the name of it. And I was like, wow, that's really big. He's like, yeah, I'm going for big fish. Bigger the fly, bigger the fish, which is true. But I mean, you can go too big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, but.
How about hopper patterns?
Hopper patterns?
Yeah, hopper patterns. Do you have some hopper patterns?
I do.
People that trout fish that are watching this, they'll want to know because that bite is phenomenal when it happens. Yeah. But you
They're
tie
explosive.
One?
Oh, yeah, I tie. It's a ruse hopper. Okay. And you can use it with the hopper dropper setup. It's hard to sink. It really is. It's hard to sink.
What's a hopper dropper?
When you got a, let's say, ruse hopper, and from the bend of the hook, you tie some tippet where the trout are in the trout's feeding lane, you know, and stuff like that. So it could be like 8 inches or it could be 10 inches. You know, it's like a dry dropper setup. And then you tie on, like, let's say, a zebra midge or whatever. So you got two hooks, one at the top and one down here. And, the, you know, the trout will either hit that one, or you can get trout to hit both.
Right. Oh, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah. They get really feeding on that shoreline when get in that bite, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh. So the flies that you're selling, you sell them individually or do you have kits or something?
On my website, there's, you know, you can order just flies individually, but I also have packages.
Oh, yeah. There you
go. That I like done for like Bennett Springs. I'm working on one right now for Roaring River. I'm working on, I'm updating one for Roaring River.
Right.
And I updated a package of flies that I carry. They're called Ruse Package because everybody calls me Rooster. So I'm like, Ruse Package.
There you go.
And those are the flies that I carry that have landed me my biggest fish.
I gotcha.
So, I mean, like, browns that weigh 7 pounds. Where, uh-huh. You know, you can't hold them out, like, here because your arms are shaking from the fight. You got to, like,
right.
You know, hold them right here and uh-huh. Stuff like that.
So, people show up and they bring their own gear.
Yeah,
right?
bring their own gear. And yeah, then, make sure you got waders and your fly rod. If I'm not a good cook, so if you guys want to eat, or if you do a full day and you want to eat, you probably want to bring your own sandwiches,
right?
You know, and I bring the flies. We'll use my tip at my tapered leaders and stuff like that. A lot of times I use straight line anyways, which is like I'll say 8 feet of just normal monofilament,
right?
Like 8 pound, you know,
uh-huh.
And stuff like that. And then I'll rig up their rods for them and stuff like that. Make sure their waders are good and stuff. And then I'll tie on the flies and stuff like that for them.
Right.
You know, I basically set it up. All they got to do is catch the fish. All they got to do is set the hook, you know. And then I'll bring them out and be like, we'll start here. You know, and I can't guarantee, nobody can guarantee people catch fish, but I will put people where the fish are. You know, it's up to them to set the hook. And then I'll, you know, be like, start here, and then we'll move. If we don't catch nothing, then we'll move. We'll move, you know. Or if we catch all of them, we'll move, you know.
Right.
But, yeah.
What's, if you're fishing, what's probably the biggest tip that you tell people when they're out there fishing, like, something that you see and it helps them catch fish. What is the number one tip you think you give?
A lot of people always ask, what should I use? Especially when I'm at tailwaters, you know, and I look at them and be like, well, if you don't have my Hoots Tungsten Jig Pig, you know, that'll help me catch fish, you know, but I also be like, well, you know, I teach them. I just tell them, like, when you're down at a river you ain't never been before, look around. Look in spider webs. You can see what hatches there are and stuff like that. Lift out rocks and with those aquarium nets, hold it downstream for when you lift up a rock, and it'll collect all the insects and scuds and stuff like that. And you just look at it and see. That gives you the size, color, and shape, and, you know, where they're at and stuff like that. Or if you see little minnows jumping and breaking the water, throw a woolly bugger. You know, and stuff like that. Just a lot of people always ask me what to use, and it's like the answers are always right in front of you when you're fishing. It doesn't matter where you fish.
There you go.
Or even your style of fishing, if you're just doing that rod and reel stuff, I guess. You know, just
Right.
I mean, you know, it even works with that too. It works with all styles of fishing, you know.
Yep. Hey, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. And Pico Lures, of course, has a full line of soft plastics and hard lures that you can use to catch almost everything. We usually don't catch a lot of trout on the Pico Lures, but you could, I guess, if you tried, but you wouldn't be fly fishing. But you can check their stuff out at picolures.com. And our other sponsor is Smith Consumer Products. And they have a full line of accessories, everything from clippers to I'm showing the hook file because I figure that fly fishermen probably do sharpen their hooks a lot. This is kind of a big file. This would be one to keep at home and
that's when you sharpen your hooks before you leave the house.
Exactly. But they do have smaller ones, and you can check them out at smithproducts.com. Hey, if they wanted to find out more and go on a lesson or a guide trip, where would they go?
HootsCustomFlies.com.
Okay. Spell that out for us.
HootsCustomFlies.com.
Didn't know you were going to have a spelling.
Yeah, I had to think about it.
I just wanted to make sure that they got Hoots. I wanted to make sure that they got, the first
and
part.
And I just named it after my dad. My dad's nickname is Hoot Gibson.
Oh, there you go.
And everybody thinks I'm Hoot Gibson. No, I'm Rooster.
There you go.
Rooster. Everybody calls me Rooster.
Now we know that everyone will know now. But
sometimes when I'm at tailwaters, you hear people crowing. Oh, there's Rooster, and you hear their crow and stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I do not have a cool nickname, but anyway.
Well, let's go fishing. We'll come up with one.
I'm sure you would after you fishing me a little ways. But we have to keep our show rated G, so we'll see. Appreciate you being on the show. Do you have a phone number they can call or not?
I prefer people to get a hold on me through Facebook, Instant Messenger, and that'd be about it.
Okay.
And all that, information's on my website, too. It has links to my Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. My uncle, he sets up my website.
All right.
Because he's a more tech. I'm just a fisherman.
All right. If I'm going on a trip and I want to learn about something, I'd rather be at the fisherman. So.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, that ends the show. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.
Yeah.